Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hit me up on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Ram and Peters Township, or visit them online, SouthHillsJeep.com. It's 7 o'clock. Time to call Shendarovich, Shendarovich & Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS. We'll get back into the Pirates a little bit later on in the program. But Le'Veon Bell, former Steelers star, he was on the Steel Here podcast. He said that he wants a couple of carries in the preseason here in Pittsburgh before retiring as a Pittsburgh Steeler. To that, I say, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, last preseason, we saw Najee Harris play in a meaningless game, the third preseason game, get hurt. He was already hurt, but get hurted-er, English, and then not be himself the first half of the season. It wasn't until he got healthy that he was good. So, yeah, sure, give Le'Veon Bell some carries. See if he still got it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let him be the guy that gets hurt. I never looked at Le'Veon Bell the same way I looked at Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is a criminal. Antonio Brown has been accused of some heinous things. Antonio Brown, I mean, just getting that guy on the field to play on Sundays was a minor miracle by Mike Tomlin. I might be in the minority on this. I actually don't know where folks come down, and you can text us on the Egger Center and Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. I actually think Mike Tomlin did a good job with Antonio Brown. A lot of folks, I do believe, think that he was enabled, but Mike Tomlin's job is to win games. Mike Tomlin's job is to get the best players on the field. And so if you've got to let Antonio Brown take a helicopter to training camp and that's going to keep him on the field, so be it. I mean, we saw Bill Belichick try to have a hard line on him and that didn't work out. We saw the Raiders in that disaster, how they tried to approach things with him. It didn't work out. Mike Tomlin was able to get that guy to play most Sundays. The only time he didn't was after he threw the ball at the feet of Ben Roethlisberger. So I think Mike Tomlin did a good job with that guy. I really do. And the same can be said about Le'Veon Bell. His atrocities weren't the same. Like, he wasn't as much of a malcontent. At the end, he wanted the contract, and he skipped a walkthrough before the Steelers lost to Jacksonville. He actually played well in that game. I don't think it's his fault that they lost. I don't think him missing the walkthrough had anything to do with that. Le'Veon Bell smoked pot in LeGarrette Blount's car prior to a preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Terrible decision. His suspensions hurt the team, but I never looked at him the same way as AB. I think AB's a bad guy. I just think Le'Veon Bell might not be the brightest guy. I used to do a radio show with Le'Veon Bell. I like the guy. But here's the question stemming from the comments from Le'Veon Bell. He says he'd like to come back here, retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler. A, would you be okay with him retiring as a Pittsburgh Steeler, or is there a bad taste left in your mouth from the way things went down there? But the other question is, I think we can all agree that the Steelers underachieved in the Killer Bees era. Why? Who do you put that blame on at 412-928-9370? Is it Mike Tomlin? Because when you zoom out, I don't think they ask why. I think they just ask, how many did you win? And they won nothing. They went to an AFC championship game and got their butts kicked in by the New England Patriots. We can all agree that they underachieved, but where do you place the blame? You blame Mike Tomlin? Do you blame injury? Do you blame Ben? I blame Ben more than anybody else. If you zoom in and game out, the injuries are more reason than excuse. But people don't want to hear that. People want a common thread. Ryan Shazier, when he got hurt, the Steelers were giving up 17 points per game. When he got hurt after that, they were giving up 28 points a game. That had a profound impact on the way that they played. Antonio Brown didn't play in that Denver game that Fitztoussaint fumbled in. Neither did Le'Veon Bell. Neither did D'Angelo Williams. Injury had a big effect. 2014, when the Steelers lost to the Ravens at home in the playoffs, Le'Veon Bell got hurt in the final game of the regular season. Ben Tate was the running back. Josh Harris, the guy that ripped Ben Roethlisberger, not on the way out the door, but years later. Injury may have been the real reason, but that's not fun. That's not sports talk radio, and I don't think people care because it's year in and year out failure, year in and year out underachieving. So who do you blame? Tomlin, Ben, the injury. I will go with Roethlisberger. If you've listened to the show for longer than a fart, you'll know that I'm not the biggest Ben Roethlisberger fan in the world because I think that Ben came up small time and time again in the playoffs. Now, he also won two rings. He wasn't good in Super Bowl 40, but he made plays when you needed to make plays. He also, Ben Roethlisberger did, played his tail off leading up to that Super Bowl. If you gave a playoff MVP, like the Conn Smythe that they do in the NHL, I think you could make a reasonable argument that Ben was the Conn Smythe trophy winner in the NFL that year. He was really good against Cincinnati. He was excellent to start the game against Indianapolis, and that game in Denver was probably the best playoff game he had played until 08, whenever he had that big-time drive. We all remember that one. But if we're talking about solely the Killer Bees era, when Brown and Bell, along with Ben, were the primary drivers of the engine here with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben came up small time after time after time in the playoffs. That Baltimore game that I referenced without Le'Veon Bell, Ben had a quarterback rating of 79. He threw two picks at home. They put up 17 points. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback. Do better. In that loss against Denver, without AB, without Le'Veon Bell, Fitztoussaint got the lion's share of the carries in that game. Ben had a quarterback rating lower than his career average. He didn't throw a touchdown. Now, you could say the injuries had a lot to do with that. Okay, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. Elevate the team. Win the game. Throw a touchdown. When they beat Kansas City, he threw a pick. No touchdowns. 72 quarterback rating. Had an 83 quarterback rating in that AFC Championship game that they lost to the New England Patriots, was not good. In that Jacksonville game that everyone points to, the Ryan Shazier injury, or Blake Bortles putting up 45 points, Ben had a fumble return for a touchdown. He threw an interception to set Jacksonville up early. In the blink of an eye, they were up four scores, and half of those were due to Ben. Ben put up near 500 yards through five touchdowns, but a lot of that happened trying to claw the team back in a hole that he put them in. He threw for 500 yards, people will point out, against Cleveland. And I guess this isn't the Killer Bees era, but hey, I'm piling on Ben, so why not keep doing it? He threw four picks in that game. He had the ball snapped over his head, and he ran at a snail's pace without any sense of urgency to cover that thing up. Guys, Ben Roethlisberger, the latter half of his career in the playoffs, was a disaster. And people want to kill Mike Tomlin for the Killer Bees era, and hey, they all have to wear it. But Big Ben Roethlisberger wasn't a guy in the playoffs that a lot of people thought he was. 08 matters? Yeah, of course it does. 05 matters? Yeah, it's why he's in the Hall of Fame. The regular season statistics and those two playoff seasons. But in the Killer Bees era, Ben came up small time after time after time. Let's go to Nathan in Cranberry. What's up, Nathan?
What's going on, AC?
Man, you working today. Where are you going?
I'm going to go umpire four baseball games today. Actually, I lied. Six. Six 15U baseball games. Easy money. Don't mind me.
My man, easy money. Two things. One, it's going to be 85. Two, you're going to be dealing with parents who on their day off are going to have to be sweating in 85. I think this is tough money.
Believe it or not, this will be, after today, 16 baseball games this weekend. Haven't been yelled at once.
My man. You see, I like to hear
that. I'm a good umpire. Young, good umpire.
Well, what do you got for me, Nathan, on the topic of the Killer Bees era?
To reiterate your question, who do you put the blame on?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, team effort. They all dropped the ball.
They did, Nathan, but that's not sports talk radio. You got to pick a guy.
Okay, I'll go with your answer, Ben. He put ourselves into a hole in that Jaguars game. Sure, he did make his throw, 5 touchdowns, 500 yards. Those Bees pulled up too. If I remember correctly, there were 2 fourth-and-long plays, and he just threw the ball up, and somehow Le'Veon Bell and Martavius Bryant made an actual unbelievable catch. Pretty sure Le'Veon's was out of the shotgun, sidecar right. And
it was.
With
this is why you're a good umpire, because of your recall here, Nathan. And thank you so much for the call. 412-928-9370. Who do you blame the failures of the Killer Bee era on? I say Ben. Nathan, when pressed, said Ben. That catch by Le'Veon Bell, when he was negotiating to try to get a contract, that was the thing he should have shown over and over and over again. No running back in football makes that play other than him. It was unbelievable. But I blame Ben. You look at the statistics, not good enough. And people think about that 2017 game against New England, right? The Jesse James game. And you think about Riveron screwing the pooch and the rule changing, and it should have been a catch. He didn't survive the ground. Ben threw the terrible interception at the end, too. Like, people forget that part. Had the Steelers won that game, they're not playing Jacksonville to start things off. They get home field advantage. And yeah, Ben threw a touchdown. They called it back. It doesn't mean you don't have another opportunity. And I believe, if memory serves correctly, they could have kicked a field goal to tie the game. And Ben throws a horrendous interception. Awful. I'm not saying Ben doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm not trying to step all over my man's career here. But if we are looking to crystallize our blame, because it's sports talk radio, on one guy, why the Killer Bees era failed, I put it on Ben as much as anybody. People talk about Mike Tomlin's playoff record, and it's 8-9, and it's not good enough. And I'm not making excuses, but when your franchise quarterback plays below his career average in the playoffs, you're not going to win a lot of playoff games. You need your guy to be your guy in the big moments. And Ben, a lot of the time, failed. The reason I'm asking the question, Le'Veon Bell said he'd love to get a couple of carries in preseason football before retiring as a Pittsburgh Steeler, and it got me thinking about the past. Let's go to Dan in Imperial. What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Ben is absolutely to blame, and I'm not going to say because for stats reasons. I'm going to say because of his lack of leadership. You know, there was apparently some things going on with him and Antonio Brown, and then also when Le'Veon Bell, if I remember correctly, wasn't showing up to camp or whatever the case. He was sitting out for the season. No one reached out to him. Ben should have been that guy. And that's why the Killer Bees did not succeed.
Thanks for the call, Dan. I have a hard time doing that leadership thing, because I think most people, although I guess I said earlier on, I don't know where folks come down on this, but I know a lot of people seem to say Mike Tomlin lost control of the Killer Bees. You can't put it on Tomlin if you don't also put it on Ben. And you can't put it on Ben if you don't also put it on Tomlin. The head coach has to be a leader, but so does your quarterback. Of course he does. But I'm not willing to go there, because I think Tomlin did a good enough job keeping those guys on the field. And so Ben, I guess I'd have to tie him with Tomlin there too, did a good enough job to get those guys on the field. But I blame Ben largely for the failures of the Killer Bees. Chris in the car. Hey, what's up?
Hey, you couldn't be more right. I mean, I think you're spot on. I catch a lot of flack when I talk to people about the latter part of Ben's career, and they haven't been to a Super Bowl in, what, 14 years?
2010.
You know, yeah, and how much better of a team could they have put together without giving him the last contract that they did and shelling out all that money? And, you know, might have been how much further ahead than they are right now. That's all I got.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. One other thing from the Le'Veon Bell interview on the Steel Here podcast. He was talking about how it got petty. Actually, I have the clip for you. About the contract negotiations between he and the Steelers.
I didn't want to leave Pittsburgh, no. At the end of the day, it's like, that's where I was at. It was like, that's where I got drafted at. It's like, especially like after like really going to different teams and seeing how it is, when the team has their guy, like you're their guy. Yeah, it was like a little petty, like the little guarantee stuff. Like in the first time, like I'm thinking like, damn, could I just really just ate it? Yeah, I probably could have. I probably could have really ate it. I think at that time I was I was like so like stern and like, dang, bro, I played through this injury. I done did this.
That's what I was saying to Le'Veon at the time, brother. The first 2 years, they're going to give you a signing bonus, so that's guaranteed. They're not going to cut you before year three. So all the money in the first 2 years, it wasn't quote-unquote guaranteed, but you were going to get that money. It may as well have been guaranteed. Now, I'm happy that the Steelers have come out of the dark ages on this. I wanted him, for his sake, to take the deal. And I think things would have worked out better for Le'Veon. I don't think I'm breaking any news there, if he would have taken the Steelers deal. But from a Steelers perspective, I didn't want it to happen because I just don't pay running backs multiple contracts. It's just not my style. Like, if they want to pick up the Najee Harris fifth-year option, I'm good with that. But beyond that, no way. Running backs age like milk. They age like me doing a morning show. They age like presidents. It's just not worth it for me. But I am happy the Steelers have come out of the dark ages on that guaranteed money crap. They gave TJ Watt a good amount of guaranteed money. They gave Minkah Fitzpatrick a fair amount of guaranteed money. And I imagine that they're going to give Alex Highsmith a fair amount of guaranteed money. Because that's how you negotiate in today's NFL. It wound up working out okay for the Steelers, I think. But I think you got to keep up with the Joneses. Everyone, for the most part, is going to spend to the salary cap. You don't have a spending advantage over anybody. So if they're going to offer, they being the rest of the NFL, guaranteed money in contracts and you're not, you're at a competitive disadvantage. So I'm happy they at least got that bleep together. 412-928-9370. Le'Veon Bell said he'd like to come back and play a little bit in the preseason and retire a Steeler. A, are you cool with that? B, who do you blame for the failures of the Killer Bee era? I want your thoughts, and I've got a really hot Memorial Day take that I'll also give you coming up next right here on the Fan Morning Show.
Summer is right around the corner, and it's going to be a hot one, like 7 inches from the midday sun. You know where I'm going with this. You want to stay cool? Do it with Dunkin'. Dunkin' iced coffee. Oh, you can hear it. The ice cubes rattling around in the bottom of the cup. You hear it? You can smell it. Oh, it smells fantastic. And you can taste it. Go ahead. Take a sip. Oh, wait. You didn't stop yet and pick one up. Do it now. Get to Dunkin'. Refreshers, iced coffee, cold brew, and lattes, because Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates trailed Seattle entering the eighth 3-1, scored two, but gave up three back in the bottom half of the 10th inning as Eugenio Suarez hit a three-run home run off of Robert Stevenson to down the Bucs. Pittsburgh now at 26-26 overall, but still a game and a half out of first place in the NL Central. Pirates in San Francisco. First pitch, 5:05. Hear it on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Who do you blame for the Killer Bees' failures? Hell, they won a lot of regular season games, so failure is all relative, but they had Super Bowl aspirations. They missed the playoffs, for God's sakes, in 2018, although James Conner was the running back on that team. And AB was gone, wasn't he? Well, shoot! But in 2018 was the last year. 2019 was Duck Hodges. It's early and it is a holiday. I'm getting paid double to remember my years. And I can't even do it. But they failed. They didn't go to a Super Bowl, the Killer Bees. And of course that's failure. You're one of the best regular season teams, basically year in and year out. The expectations were through the roof. Mike Tomlin even said on NBC to his old pal Tony Dungy that they would meet the Patriots in two games, that the Jesse James game was just the first salvo before you'd take him on, likely in the AFC Championship game. That's why some people say that Mike Tomlin's to blame. He didn't have his team focused on Jacksonville. But for me, it was the quarterback. The reason I bring this up, Le'Veon Bell, he said on a podcast, the Steal Here podcast, he wants a couple of carries in the preseason with Pittsburgh before retiring as a Steeler. I say fine. Save Najee Harris's legs. Let Le'Veon Bell get some run. Who cares if he gets hurt? I mean, from a personal standpoint, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I'd rather him get hurt than your actual running back. It's not going to happen, obviously. But it got me thinking, who do you blame for the failure of the Killer Bees era? And we got this text. Too many egos pulling on the rope in different directions. There were a bunch of personalities, no doubt. I mean, Alejandro Villanueva, you had all that going down with the Kaepernick stuff. And I'm not assigning any opinion to any of this. We're not doing the political stuff. I'm just saying he had his own way of approaching that, and the team had its way of approaching that, and that became a bleep storm before the Steelers lost to Chicago that year. You had Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, varying levels of hijinks. I believe that was the year that Antonio Brown was throwing things off of a balcony, almost injuring or killing a toddler. You had Mike Tomlin looking ahead to the New England Patriots' second matchup. So there are many reasons. I mean, with these kinds of questions, there's obviously more than one answer, but if we're crystallizing it, if we're boiling it down to one guy because it's sports talk radio, I go Ben. Ben Roethlisberger was really bad in the playoffs a lot in that stretch. Like, the only playoff game that they won in 2015 was the Bengals game where Cincinnati crapped down their leg. They had two wins in 2016 leading to that AFC Championship game, and Ben Roethlisberger in those two games threw two touchdowns and three interceptions, so he didn't exactly bathe himself in glory. Against New England in that AFC Championship game, Ben threw a touchdown and a pick. He wasn't good. Against Jacksonville, he threw five touchdowns, but he also helped spot Jacksonville with that four-score lead early by setting them up once early in their territory with an interception. Miles Jack, it was, of all people. And then he had a fumble return for a touchdown. So they were behind the eight ball in large part because of Ben's failure. So I put it on him. Who do you put it on? 412-928-9370. And on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, which is brought to you by the heating, cooling, and plumbing experts at Armstrong Comfort and Matt Mertz Plumbing. I have a hot take. Memorial Day, we all know what it's about, so make sure you're thinking about fallen troops today. But it is a big-time grilling and drinking holiday, the unofficial official start of summer, and I'm here to tell you that cornhole sucks ass. I don't like cornhole. I think cornhole is the most overrated outdoor game that we got going. I'll take can jam over cornhole with the frisbee. I'll take that weird game that you play on the beach where you throw those ropes with balls on them that land and they swing around the thing. I'll take freeze tag. We used to play this thing on the beach called Ninja, where you all stand still and you have to whack the other person's hands. And then if you get your hand whacked, you get eliminated. That's more fun than cornhole. Cornhole, there's too much thinking involved, Austin. I'm always bending over to pick up bags. My knees crack. My back hurts. You're standing around. I like to sit. And then also there's math involved. You get three bags on there. Your opponent puts two. Now all of a sudden you're adding and subtracting. If you go over, then you got to go back to 15 or whatever it is. Math plus laziness means, for me, cornhole overrated. What say you?
I like cornhole.
Get out of here.
I really do. Now, if I had to take a choice between cornhole or spike ball, which is pretty new, that's fun.
Spike ball is awesome.
And also, if you want to say, you were mentioning ladder ball is what I think that's what they call that, right? You got three different layers to throw the ropes with the...
Yes.
So, no, I do like cornhole. The math sometimes can be complicated. Do I lose track of the score a lot? Yes.
That's the deal. But that's also what happens to me.
If you just am cordial with whoever you're playing next to, sometimes they'll be kind and pick up some of your bags for you, too.
Yeah, but then I got to do the same thing. I got to reciprocate on my end.
That is true.
I'm still, either way, my bags are their bags. I'm picking up bags. And after like 10 minutes of me standing in the hot sun, I don't want to be bending over picking up bags. I want to be sitting in a lawn chair drinking a beer. The best outdoor game ever, apart from just, you know, tossing a football or playing catch, is wiffle ball.
Correct.
Wiffle ball absolutely slays. And we're going to be at my parents' today, and they have a nice big backyard. So we'll have tents set up, and we'll have tables set up. They're going to have way too many people. I don't know how they're going to manage it. But we're going to set up wiffle ball, I think, on the other side. That's a game where you can just drink, play, be merry, hit some taters, have fun. Do you go yellow bat, though?
I do not. We actually use Easton Pro Stick bats for wiffle ball when we play. So they're like, they're still a plastic bat, but it's a little bit more of a barrel to it. And we actually use baseball training balls when we play. So they're a firm plastic with holes on each side. So if you hit this thing, it can go like 150 feet and just be absolutely launched.
Does it move? Can you throw nasty pitches with it?
Not as good as a regular wiffle ball with the holes on top.
What was the best pitch you've ever thrown with that, with the standard wiffle ball? The only pitch that I could get to do what I wanted it was that rise ball.
Yeah, that's about it.
You get the holes on the bottom and you fling it, and then it... Phew.
The way we play, it's more like... It's similar to baseball. It's kind of like wiffle ball without gloves, but the way that we're throwing and the way that the ball comes off the bat, it's like baseball.
Pegs?
Yes.
You got to have pegs.
Of course.
For those of you who don't know, and why would you know unless you were listening to the pre-show, Austin is in charge of a wiffle ball league in Baldwin.
Correct.
He's got the entire league, as he says, in the backseat of his car. It's going to be hot today. You should let those guys out.
The bases definitely should see the light of day.
It's a bad joke by me. What are you going to do? Memorial Day. Fan hotline, if you want to call us there, 412-928-9370, presented by Nemecolon around every corner. Nemecolon creates real life magic for guests. I think cornhole's terribly overrated. I got this text. So true. Who wants to stand and hold bags? I'm with you. How about lawn darts? You ever played lawn darts?
I think I have a set of lawn darts that my family had from years ago that I played maybe once. Very dangerous game.
See, I agreed. I think that's an old person game.
Yeah.
And you can play bocce, which is also an old person game, but a fun game, but you need to have your grass perfectly manicured and, like, come on.
Or have, like, a court at, like, a place that you go to at night.
Right. At night. Because all the old folks are going out before they eat dinner at 5 o'clock, so you got to make sure you're doing it under cover of darkness. Coming up next, the Penguins will have a new general manager by the end of the week. Maybe by the end of tomorrow. What should their first order of business be? We'll get to that coming up next. Plus, the Buccos, they're overachieving their own internal expectations. But are you satisfied? It's Adam Crowley. My man Austin behind the glass. It's the Fan Morning Show. I think cornhole's terribly overrated. Got this text. Because we were talking about wiffle ball being the greatest sport on earth. Weed saw the ends off of wiffle ball bats, open them up, stuff them with newspaper, then tape it up and hit tennis balls. Now that is taking it to the next level. I'll tell you what was awesome back in the day. I can't do it now. I'd fall over as Dizzy Bat. You ever do Dizzy Bat, Austin?
No, I never have.
Oh, you'd cut the end off one of those yellow bats, one of those standard yellow wiffle ball bats, and you would fill it with 12 ounces of beer. So you'd crack open a can of beer, you'd dump it in, and you would have to chug the beer. But first, before you did all that, because I said it backwards, you would have to, wait, I want to get this right. This is very important to get this right. Now I know what you would do. You would. You'd fill it up. You'd chug. God, I blacked out a lot in college. You would chug the beer, and people would count. So however long it took you to chug the beer, let's say it was 15 seconds because you're chugging it out of a bat, for God's sakes, you'd then have to put your nose on the bat, which was on the ground, spin around it for 15 seconds then, however long it was that it took you to chug, spin around it, and then someone would throw the can and you'd have to try to hit it, and you'd fall over. That's why they call it Dizzy Bat.
Maybe that's an item for All-Star Game festivities this year for the league.
Oh my God, that's a great call. You imagine Giancarlo Stanton chugging beer out of a wiffle ball bat and then having to hit like a natty ice can as far as he could. I would watch that 100 times out of 100 before I watch the Home Run Derby again. I feel like they fixed the Home Run Derby to an extent, but man, that would be awesome. Got this text. What's your take on horseshoes? I never did horseshoes. My parents never let me throw metal because I'm me and I'm an idiot. Speaking of idiots, Ron Hextall. Speaking of Ron Hextall, the Penguins general manager job, I assume, will be filled here before the end of the week. And in fact, I think they'll know who their general manager is tomorrow. Hopefully it breaks during the Fan Morning Show. We never get any breaking news. We'd like some breaking news. The latest report I saw is that Kyle Dubas, formerly of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he was running things over there. He got unceremoniously let go. He was mulling a decision over the weekend. It's his job if he wants it. And I know that there are some Penguins fans I've seen on social media who are growing impatient. Why are you giving this guy all this time to figure it out? Well, he thought he'd be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs probably for like the next 5 years. He thought he wasn't going anywhere. And then he thought if he was, he wasn't going to take another job. But then things got hot and heavy with the Penguins, so okay, here he is. He's got to think it over. I bet he takes the job. I bet by tomorrow evening, certainly by Friday evening, we will know that Kyle Dubas is the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So what's his first order of business? He's got to figure out the goalie situation. No doubt. You got the draft upcoming. That's when trades get made. Connor Hellebuck is available. I don't think that the Penguins necessarily have the resources to get that done, but that is, to me, the most important thing. If you have a legitimate, solid, healthy goaltender, then you can make some noise. I think Tristan Jarry is a really good player. He's shown himself to be that over the course of his Penguins regular season career. He just can't stay healthy, and in the playoffs, well, if you cannot swing a deal for a guy like Hellebuck, and that might be shooting for the stars, but hey, have the conversation. I would be okay with a one-year, $3.5-ish million deal for Tristan Jarry, but you get rid of DeSmith and you bring in a veteran backup and maybe make them 1A, 1B. Tristan Jarry's good. He's just not healthy enough. And Sergei Bobrovsky, he's had playoff failures before, and he might be, he probably is your Conn Smythe frontrunner right now for Florida. If you do it, and you do it well enough in the regular season, and you do it well enough for a long time, I think eventually that does translate to the playoffs. It's just a matter of health for Jarry. But you can't bring him back and not have a viable backup, a veteran backup, somebody that you can actually count on more so than a Casey DeSmith. So to me, goalie, first order of business. But here's what I want from the damn Fenway Sports Group. Because as bad of a job as Ron Hextall did and Brian Burke did, I thought they were also given a bad hand. They were told, win now, but also keep the future viable. Folks, that can't happen. That's how you wind up with third line centers who can't play a damn. Like Mikhail Granlin, who cost you $5 million. He's not good defensively. He doesn't chip in offensively. He's an empty jersey out there. but you don't want to give up real assets, so hey, that's who you get. And you're going to be living with that contract now for a couple of years, unless new GM Kyle Dubas, if that is who it will be, and I believe it will, can find a way to pull the wool over some other general manager's eyes and get him off the roster. But the directive from FSG needs to be this. Win effing now. Forget about the future. What do they got, the 14th pick in the draft? Trade it. Package it. Maybe you can package it to get a bad contract off the books. Maybe you can trade it to get a youthful player who can come in and help right now. You're not going to get a great player, but your bottom six needs a total overhaul. It can't be have your foot in both camps. It can't be, hey, win now and keep the window open later. It just simply can't. The 14th pick in the draft this year may well be an impact player down the road. He ain't going to help while Sidney Crosby is still here. In all likelihood, the 14th pick in the draft, even if they hit on that guy, is not going to be ready before 3 years are up and Sidney Crosby's contract is over. So get rid of it. And that's just an example, but it can't be about later. It's got to be about now. If you want this new general manager, if it is Kyle Dubas, to succeed, you've got to say, hey, buddy, get after it. And we're also going to keep you around after this all falls apart. After Crosby's gone, after Malkin's gone, after Letang's gone, or even if they become diminishing assets, even if they stop playing at the level that they've played, even if they're not healthy, like Crosby and Malkin were this year, guess what? We're not going to fire you at the first sign of trouble. I've been asked the question, you go out, you drink beers, you go to a cookout, you're hanging out with folks, is this a good job? The Penguins general manager job. And my answer is yes, if what I just said comes to pass. If they tell this next general manager, win now at all costs, and we promise if bleep hits the fan, we're still going to retain you. You're still going to have a job. If you make that qualifier, then yeah, it's an awesome job. Because you've got a chance to win. I don't think you're going to win a cup, but you've got a chance to win some games with Crosby and Malkin playing the way that they did last year. At some point, they'll fall off, but you've got a chance to win games. But when they're no longer what they were last year, you are going to suck. And that cannot be something that this general manager, Kyle Dubas, if it is in fact him, has to wear. That's not fair. So long as that's the qualifier, I think it's a fabulous job. Be in charge of trying to win now, and then, guess what? Be in charge of the rebuild later. Because if you get hired as a general manager, typically, it's because your team stinks and you're going to have to do a rebuild. If you get hired as this team's general manager, you don't have to do that right now. That's why it is a selling point. You get the rebuild that most general managers, when they get hired, have to deal with. But you also, on the front end, get the end of Crosby and Malkin's and Letang's career. I think it is a good job. But FSG has to make it clear to Kyle Dubas, and I'm sure that they have, if he's in fact, mulling this decision. Hey, buddy, win now. You want to come here? Let's try to win this thing. Let's try to advance out of the first round of the playoffs. Let's try to maybe pull a Florida. Unlikely as that is. Let's try to do that. But when everything comes crumbling down around you, we're also not going to put you out to pasture. And if that's what's being said, then it is an enticing job, and Kyle Dubas should sign on the dotted line. But if that's not what they're saying, then I wouldn't if I were Dubas. But the first order of business has to be figure out that goalie situation. Shoot for the moon, try to get a hellebuck. If that ain't working, well, one-year deal for me, for Tristan Jarry. 412-928-9370, that's the text line. That's also the phone number. Coming up next, how many times do you do something that you used to do? That's a bad tease, but it'll make sense in a moment. It's radio, baby. It's Adam Crowley, Fan Morning Show.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates lost to the Seattle Mariners yesterday, 6-3 in extra innings. The Bucs are 6-18 since starting the year, 20-8 overall, and have yet to win a series in May. The Pirates are in San Francisco tonight, 5:05 first pitch. You can hear it on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Beginning at 4:40 with the pregame show, Rich Hill on the mound opposite Anthony DeSclafani. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years serving Pittsburgh.
I said cornhole's overrated. Too much math. too much bending over to pick up the bags. I get this response on Twitter. Lazy mind, lazy body, nice take. Yeah, I can't think of a more apt way to describe me than that. Lazy mind, lazy body. What I want to do is what all dads seem to do on Memorial Day. I want to stand around, but not grill. I don't want to grill. I want to stand around as my dad grills. He flips the burgers. He chars those hot dogs. Maybe he smokes brisket or whatever. And I just critique him and his grillmanship while I sip beer. Maybe just drink beer. And I can go inside, watch the Bucks when I want to, grab some shade when I want to. That, to me, is the dream day. You go, you don't grill, you stand around a grill. There's like six dads standing there in their New Balance that are stained a little bit with green. Cut the grass the day before. You just chill. You probably talk a little sports. Burgers get flipped. Hey, can you get the cheese? Yeah, sure, I'll get the cheese. Least I can do. And then you take credit for the burger. Yeah, that's the perfect day. Also on the topic of the Pirates, are you content with them being at 500, or are you terribly depressed by it like I am because they were at 1.20-8? I got this tweet. If you didn't realize the fast start was an anomaly, there's no saving you. Easiest way to not let that organization upset you is to just ignore them. I've been doing it for 40 years. I can't, man. It ain't my DNA. I'm a Pirates fan through and through. I'm going to watch the games. I'm going to cheer them on. And whenever they lose, I'm going to feel that. And when you get out to a 20-8 start, no, I did not believe that that was sustainable. I didn't even think that they were necessarily going to play 500 ball the rest of the way after that point. But they were 12 games over a month in. I certainly didn't think they were going to give it up as quickly as they did. That's what kills me. That they gave it away so fast. I thought when they built that 12 games above 500 cushion, that that would keep them artificially or otherwise in the race until the All-Star break. But here they are collapsing. Ben Cherington said yesterday on the Ben Cherington Show with Greg Brown that the Pirates have exceeded the computer expectations that they had for themselves. They didn't think they'd be 26-26. It's no accident he's saying that when he did. It's no accident that Greg Brown asked the question when he did. You know, this ship is taking on water. In fact, it's halfway sunk at this point. And they still want people to keep the eye on the ball. Like, coming into the year, they didn't think that they would be a great baseball team, maybe even a good baseball team. In Ben Cherington's own words, even a 500 baseball team at this point. But I think as circumstances change, so too should opinion. So too should expectations. And when you start off 20-8, the least I can expect is to not give that up in a month. And they have. They got one more chance to win a series in May. I guess not, though, right? Because they only got two games in May of this series. I guess if you win the first two, you'd win a series in May. Are there 31 days in May or 30?
I think there's 31 days in May.
Do you do that little trick with your knuckles?
No. What is the trick?
I don't know what it is. Nicholas Harry Callis, who sometimes produces the show, he said there's some sort of device that you can use, like the valleys in your hand and the knuckles. That means it's a day with 30, that's a month with 30 days, and the knuckles that are protruding, then that's a month with 31 days.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, well, I clearly didn't explain it well either, because I don't know. How many days are in May? 412-928-9370.
All three games against the Giants are in May.
Let's go! You got a chance, baby! The Mayans really could have made the calendar a little simpler. I mean, you make every month 30 days. You got February. Sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's 28 days. Oh, well. My brain's all over the place. I am not happy with the Pirates at 26-26. When you start off 20-8, I expect better than that through the next month. I expect not to be giving it all back in one fell swoop. And also, you're only two games better than where you were at last year at this time, which is just baffling to me. Coming up next, I didn't get to the thing I teased. Do you ever watch things live anymore? Probably not, except for sports. Well, I watched Succession live last night. Spoiler alert. It was awesome. I'm not going to give you any of the details, but it was awesome. The part I saw, because I didn't stay awake the whole time. Up next, former Steelers quarterback Charlie Batch. We'll get back into the Pirates over the course of the program, but we're going to hear from the former Steelers quarterback on what to expect out of Kenny Pickett in year two. C-Batch, next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun is shining. Spring is here. Time to get a great deal on Silverados in Colorado. Stop in online, sunchevy.com. Going to be hot today with highs in the mid-80s. Before we do hear from Charlie Batch, though, let me tell you about my friends at Mantality. First things first. This is covered by insurance. There are board-certified physicians. Just go to lowtusa.com. Do you have belly fat, low energy, motivation, fatigue? You're tired all the time. You're anxious. Maybe you're depressed, low libido. Well, Mantality is a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men perform their very best. You go to lowtusa.com. They got board-certified folks that are going to test to see if you have low testosterone. If you do, they can help you out. If not, well, you can move on to finding out what is going on with you. They're not going to force anything upon you. As I said, it is all covered by insurance. Be yourself again. Go to lowtusa.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.